This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We're going to talk childcare here. We're going to bring in Reed Forgrave, excellent reporter. Does a lot of good work, including for the Star Tribune. His story about childcare, what happened in Stevens County, the challenges that rural America faces in some ways more punishing and more difficult than what urban America faces. But I also, after we chat with Reed, I want to get you involved also. If you are facing childcare right now, whether it's your child or you're the aunt, you're the uncle, you're the friend, you run a childcare agency yourself, you're a grandparent, what do you want to say about how childcare is for you? Because it is extraordinarily difficult for millions and millions of people. We bring Reed Forgrave into the conversation from the Star Tribune. Reed, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. So part of it, Reed, and thanks for coming on, you highlight Stevens County and the money they used from COVID money, and they built 6 child care pods. For folks who haven't had a chance to read your story, and I would encourage people to do it, it's well done, StarTribune.com. Explain how the pods have worked and what was going on in the county in the years and years before.
Think of this as like an in-home daycare outside the home. These pods have been around in Minnesota for a couple decades. I believe it's Detroit Lakes that had the first one. But what this Morris model is, it's different in several reasons. One is the way it was funded. They used $1.3 million in COVID money, which, by the way, is like a problem. If you're trying to like replicate this, this is like that once in a generation or more windfall of money that they had. And it is county owned. But the way that they built this is it's basically, you look at this and it looks like a nice new motel from the outside. And it's basically 6 row houses. And they're identical, almost like shotgun style houses, long and thin, with a big front room that's kind of looks like a living room, but in these cases serves as a classroom slash play area. And then there's a couple bedrooms in the back, like a napping room for infants. And then you go to the backyard, and each of them have an identical fenced in backyard with swing sets that were purchased with a grant that they got from an organization called First Children's Finance. What makes these interesting is they're sort of like an in-between. We think of family-run daycares, right? I know my older kid went to a family-run daycare for 3 years. It was perfect. Sure. It was great. Yeah. It was also chaotic, right? Because the person's running it out of their house, right? You can't get away from it. And a lot of people don't want that in their house. So what this does is it has that same small feeling, but you're able to scale it a little bit more. And so they have 6 in a row, and there's a a built-in support network for these providers. They can go on field trips around town with all the kids. And I think this is so important. At 5 o'clock, they can lock it up and go back home. It's a model that the fact that it's run by the county is also, it's owned by the county. That's another thing that makes it really unique. But they have space to expand this to, I think, more than a dozen more pods if they can get the funding. And that's the key, is getting the funding on the front end to build that infrastructure.
Yeah, the funding, and because of COVID, when government was handing out a lot of money, it was used for a lot of good. It sadly was used for a lot of fraud. So
it was.
Do you see other rural areas in greater Minnesota where if they would have the access, they'd look at Detroit Lakes, as you mentioned, they'd look at what's happened here and try to duplicate that? Did you have a feel for that from your reporting, or was it more on what was taking place specifically in this case?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked with a lot of people in the child care world in reporting this story, and one thing that I hear again and again and again is there's no one-size-fits-all for child care. And I mean that in both like a big statewide way as well as in a very hyper-local way. When I say that statewide, rural child care looks very different than urban child care. And you hear a lot of complaints from rural child care providers that child care regulations are too St. Paul-focused, right? They're too big child care center-focused, whereas the vast majority of daycares, of child cares in greater Minnesota are these, you know, in-home family-run daycares, and they're just very different models. But even within that, when we're talking about greater Minnesota, we're talking about small towns and rural areas. Even within that, there's also not a one-size-fits-all solution. Like there's a conference going on today in Hutchinson that's about innovative child care solutions for greater Minnesota. And you look around the state, and there's a town, and this is all in my story today, but there's a southwest Minnesota tiny town called Hills that developed an empty storefront into a child care. In northwest Minnesota, Warren was the first Minnesota city to fund a child care with a local sales tax. Down in Laverne, they're building a child care center, and they're purposely building it that's more than their capacity right now because they want to attract an employment base. You have other places, like down in Austin, Hormel opened its own child care. So, like, it looks different depending on your community. And I think that's what you saw with Morris, is they all got together. They got together, the stakeholders. They said, a decade ago, we had 34 child care providers. Now we have 15 in this whole county of 10,000 people. This is clearly a crisis. What do we do about it locally? And they figured out a solution that worked locally. And I think that when we talk about them cracking the code, yes, I think this pod model is great, and I think a lot of people laud it. But is that necessarily cracking the code in a different community? Maybe not. But this one certainly works for Morris. And they have proof of concept now that they can now take this to private investors, people who say, what's the biggest problem in rural Minnesota? It's not a lack of jobs. There are plenty of jobs. It's a lack of housing. And even more importantly, it's a lack of childcare. And they can go to local businesses and say, look, invest in this. This works.
Well, I want to pick up on that from some of the data you cite in your story. Reminded folks, this is Reed Forgrave from the Star Tribune, not just a good writer, but you can tell he's excellent on the radio. And this story about child care is in the Star Tribune right now. You point out a 2021 report cited child care as the single biggest issue economically holding back greater Minnesota. And also that Minnesota in greater Minnesota, this one is stunning to me, that we at the time half the child care capacity that we had in 2000. That is stunning. That when we should be expanding, we should be better at this. And I know some of the birthing rates have come down, but that doesn't mean individuals don't need the help, the options, because so many homes, as you know, it's either a two-parent home or a one-parent home, and all the parents involved are working. It is something that if you're in the metro area, you may face your challenges, and if it's in your life, Reed, it matters every bit. But the metro area and the options compared to greater Minnesota, it's not even close.
No, not even close. And I think there are lots of reasons that play into it. There's the graying of greater Minnesota, parts of greater Minnesota. I think that's one big part of it. You have people aging out of wanting to work in the child care workforce and younger people saying, why would I go into that job? But ultimately, it's a numbers thing. It's that they parents aren't willing to pay enough for childcare. And it doesn't make sense for some parents to pay so much for childcare, where it makes sense for childcare providers. Like, there's just a gap there between what childcare providers need and what parents are willing to pay. So part of it is just a numbers thing. There are some people who think, hey, maybe government needs to take over childcare. I know that, you know, for maybe half your listeners, that will rankle people, the idea of government getting involved in another thing. Right. But clearly, the open market model right now, there's something that's not working with it. So clearly, look, there are plenty of solutions. There are plenty of solutions that don't work, that haven't worked. But I think you're seeing lots of innovative local solutions pop up. And I really do think that this Morris solution is really one of the most innovative. I went out there a few weeks ago. It was gorgeous. It wasn't like top of the line. They don't have granite countertops. It was a normal, like a suburban starter home. But the way that they had built this community there, and they have space for more, it was really powerful. And it pointed toward, I think, a solution that a lot of other communities, especially in greater Minnesota, should at least look at.
Reed, excellent. Another reminder, we should have you on more. Thank you so much. We'll reach out again.
Love your show. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate it. Reed Forgrave, he's really good. And this is a major issue. Listen, I have a 23-year-old son, but because of Quentin's health issues, I deal with this on a regular basis. Dave has two young daughters. He deals with it. For you, when you hear what Reed is saying about a Morris is trying this idea, and so far it looks very good, maybe you're in the metro area and you're facing your challenges. Maybe you're in greater Minnesota and say, hold my beer, or in this case, hold my sippy cup, because you have 5 times more of the options. I have 10 times more of the options, and we know how extraordinarily expensive it is. And then, by the way, most importantly, how good is it? What's the quality? What's the follow-up? How do I know I can trust my son, my daughter, my daughters there at this particular place? What do you want to say about child care, where we are now, where we're headed, and what you are facing in your life? Because it is the number one issue for millions and millions of families all across the country. Love to hear from people. 651-461-9226.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Among the texts coming in on the child care issue, DFL overreach has destroyed small child care businesses. Another text, absolutely 100% no to government taking over child care. I want to hear what you're facing. What do you want to say about child care? And, you know, Reed's story lays it out with interviews with individuals in rural Minnesota and flat-out data talking about the bigger challenge that greater Minnesota is facing than those in the metro. But I'll go first. You know, Quentin's not going to live on his own. And Kathleen and I share 50-50 custody. And Kathleen has her responsibilities when she has them, and I have mine. And we've tried to get Quentin, knowing the health issues he has faced and the programs we have witnessed in certain programs, and they've slowed down. They really have slowed down. So I have someone who, when I'm working, and sometimes during the weekday of the 5 weekdays, I have them 3 days, sometimes I have 2 days, and then we alternate weekends. It's extraordinarily expensive. A young adult and finding a group who I trust as close to 100% with my son, who's sweet, innocent, and cannot defend himself the way a lot of other individuals can. And so I face that every day, and I'm fortunate that as of now, I can afford that. I'd love to get him in another program and see how that works out. But Dave, you tell your story, because your story is like a lot of people out there right now.
Different than everybody else's? Is that what you mean?
No. Well, there's a lot of people who have something in the same general area as you, mm-hmm. but not identical to you.
Yeah. It's everybody's different. First of all, it feels like we've been talking about this for years and years now, and of yeah. course, nothing significant has been done. That, you know, now my yeah. second child is thankfully in preschool, so we can avoid at least a little bit of the child care dilemma. But we've been terribly lucky. My in-laws have been retired since we had our first child, and they've been great, coming over multiple days a week when they can, when we need it, to watch the kids, and they love it. They enjoy it most of the time. I believe they do. And they've been great. But we, you know, there's days when yeah. they're unavailable. There's days when things are just happening. We're very lucky in that in our neighborhood, you know, 30 seconds away, there is a wonderful woman who does an in-home child care. And the kids yeah. love it there. And I walk in and I think, there's no way I could do this, because it's your house, but it's also not your house, if you know what I mean. And, yes. and you know, when reading about the situation in Morris, I love how Reed pointed it out of, you know, it feels like a home. It looks like a home. There's a playground in the back. There's napping rooms. There's the whole deal. And then at 5 o'clock, you get to lock the door and you get to actually go home. And that just, yeah. if I were looking at doing daycare myself, that would just be a wonderful option. And for families, you know, going to a center, a daycare center, even in the, you know, the small times that we need it, those every once in a while times, it just wasn't possible. It just wasn't possible with, you know, working that day would be pointless, because the money, at least from my check, would certainly go there, if not more.
Well, let's back it up with another text that has come in. I'd love more texts on the child care dilemma. We're going to lighten up and have some fun next segment. Chad, my daughter has one child, and the cheapest she could find, wait for it, is $20,000 a year for a daycare center. She's pregnant with her second child, and I have to say, I'm glad I'm not in her shoes anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, it's extraordinarily expensive. And how many families, Dave, have to sit there and say, and while it's improved, it's still unfairly more on females than males, and it's not fair at all, and we're getting better at it, but how many families have to say, whether it's their first child or their second child, we can't afford it for you to work?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. You know what? It's worse for us if you work. And so then one individual has to, and by the way, you're with your child. I'm not saying that's torture. But by the way, while my life is immeasurably better because of my three kids, we know how hard it is. And it's not always easy to be selfless and give up that occupation to be with your kids, because you want to have a multifaceted life, Dave. You're allowed to still be a great parent if, oh no, not this, you work.
Yes.
And you're rewarded.
Yes, your purpose can be certainly more than just your kids. And a lot of people, those of us that are lucky enough to have a job we enjoy, we like going to work. We like doing something that we find enjoyable, that we find meaningful, that we find fun.
Yeah. Text her again, 651-461-9226. Time to reimagine childcare and our society supporting family life. Sounds good. What is it? Because if anybody believes that we need more women to stay home, you're certainly allowed to have that opinion. But I find that insulting to women. If they want to, they can. Listen, when Kathleen and I separated, I knew right then and there, when she found out she was pregnant, that's when I went to Dan about walking away from afternoon drive when we were getting divorced. That's when I went away from the Wolves. Did I want to do either one of those things? No. I mean, I had just agreed to call Arizona Cardinals NFL games. I was going back to a town where I had lived and really wanted to live and also was going to get to call Wolves games and at the time still do afternoon drive. But I made that decision. Not a hero, no parades. It's what I did, and I'm glad I did it every time. Do I miss those opportunities? Hell yeah, I do. Yes, I do. And I had some flexibility. Not everybody always has those flexibility. And you shouldn't feel ashamed or guilty if you want to work. There's nothing wrong with that. More people saying, can the marketplace bring solutions to this? Sure. And I don't want it run totally by the government, Dave. I don't. I don't view government as the enemy all the time. But again, what's the marketplace? Marketplace, a lot of it, Dave, is supply and demand. Well, in greater Minnesota and other rural areas across America, you have more of the demand than you do have the options. And that's not to say when I'm living in Plymouth and you're living in Woodbury, we just got our pick. But we do have more options. More text. We spaced our kids out 4.5 years. Half day a week with my parents was expensive then. Boys are 19 and 15 now. Now, if you can pull that off, Dave, and your kids are born precisely at those times and it helps you out, sure. But sometimes you're trying for a child, all of a sudden the child happens, and then guess what? You're not even trying for the second child, and boom, that takes place.
No, that's never happened.
That's never happened. I mean, I remember with us, we were trying a little bit. I thought Kathleen maybe was getting a little more nervous than I was, but eventually we were pregnant. And then, Hunter and Griffin are 17 months apart. She just called me at work. And this is pre-cell phone. I think it might have been Sammy producing for Dan and I. And goes, hey, Sammy goes, Kathleen wants to talk to you. And we're just talking about things. She goes, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. I go, great. Yeah. No, number three, that was, excuse me? That was, what did you just say? More text. My daughter works in a daycare. And as expensive as it is, that doesn't filter down to the workers. They're paid a pittance for these critical jobs. They do for other people's children. That's another important point, right, Dave?
Yeah.
How many people work in this industry and are selfless, are great at what they do, and you look up and you think how much money they're making?
It's not cheap to run a daycare place. Certainly it's not. I mean, one of the centers, they are not cheap because there's a lot of people. And yeah, you're right. You have to pay the people that are there. And that's part of what makes it so darn expensive for the families. And if the market was going to be able to correct it, you'd think it would have by now. But it hasn't. So
No.
There's got to be another solution.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Time to buck up a little bit. Nobody said life would be easy. Please stop billing taxpayers for your life. I just said 2 minutes ago. I am not for government taking control of this. I'm not. But, and by the way, life is not easy. And I don't think anybody who has kids in daycare and is paying the money that they're paying thinks life is easy. Here's an example. Chad, my son and daughter-in-law have two daughters. Girls were in child care full-time beginning at 3 months old. When the second child started kindergarten, my son calculated they had spent almost $100,000 over 8 years on child care. It's extraordinary, the amount of money we are spending. All right, traffic, weather, and Dave, why should people call in for a certain reason? Why should they call in right now? You tell them.
Well, I'd say perhaps they'd like to win tickets to go see Sebastian Maniscalco, red hot comedian at XL Energy Center for a little Valentine's Day date, February 14th, 2025. All they have to do, Chad, they just got to make you
laugh.
What's that? They just got to make you laugh. A little joke, a little nugget, a little story, a little anecdote, something to get a chuckle out of you. And if they're the first person that can do that, they get the tickets.
We're going to take up to five calls. You might be the first one to make me laugh. You might be caller five and you make me laugh. Or maybe it's a day where nobody laughs. Sebastian is very, very funny. As we've said the earlier days, if he's packing the X, what does it say about his skill set? Valentine's Day night, you and your gal, you and your guy go. You're single. You and a friend go. All you have to do is call 651-461-9226. You have 1 minute. Make me laugh. You win the tickets. Call right now. What if you did the entire show with that voice?
What voice are you talking about, Chad? This is actually my normal voice. The other one is my broadcast voice.
Oh, man. It'd be good. And actually, it wouldn't be good. I couldn't take it.
What do you mean? Hey, what are you doing after the show, Chad? You want to go hang out?
Nothing with you, that's for sure. Hey, should I look at the handy-dandy callers that you have given me right here? Let's go. All right, Diane, you are first. Diane, do you understand the rules?
I do. Hi, Chad. I want to make you laugh, and I know I have 60 seconds or less to do it.
Okay, are you feeling any pressure right now?
A little, just a little.
Little. All right, that's fine. All right, Diane, the clock has started now.
All right. Guy sits down at the Super Bowl and notices there's an empty seat between him and the next guy. He goes, God, who would skip the Super Bowl? The guy says, well, my wife, it was her ticket. Unfortunately, she passed away recently, and we already had the tickets bought. The guy says, oh, man, that's really tough. He says, is there anybody else from your family who couldn't join you? And he goes, no, unfortunately, they're all at her funeral today. Dad, I can hear you laughing.
I mean, it's a cruel family.
I don't care. Yeah.
I can't go there.
Okay, sorry.
I can't go.
You bet.
Yeah. Thank you. Dave, what'd you think?
I think that was a good opener. It was a very good opener. It didn't make me laugh out loud, but it was good.
It was good.
It maybe it didn't deserve the sad trombone and crickets.
Yeah.
I'm sure people out there laughing.
Yeah. I'm not saying we're the final word. Maybe that should be the show call. The final word.
Is there a talk show out there?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the final word. You know, there's got to be a final word out there. Don't you think?
It has to be.
All right. Who's next? Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the radio. Go ahead. Hello, Jim. How are you? All right.
I just wonder. Get ready with the button here, right? Just in case I say something that's not quite appropriate.
Okay.
Anyhow, I had my shoulder replaced in May. A professional driver. I had to go back and take a P test. So I get in there to take my P test, and my arm does not turn all the way in. So I have one hand, down on the privates, and the other hand holding the cup, and I can't turn the cup in enough to be able to pee in the cup. So I had to set the cup down on the edge of the toilet, and, well, you know, it was an embarrassing moment. It kind of a mess all over the place in there.
Dave?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Long story, bit confusing. Good luck to the shoulder and anything else you're working on. Matt, you were on Newstalk 830, the home of the Minnesota Twins, WCCO. Are you ready for your 60 seconds, Matt?
I think so.
All right. The clock has started now.
I am golfing this past weekend with a buddy of mine. I don't get out but a couple times a year. I'm not a great golfer by any means. I'm standing at the tee box in the first hole, waiting to take my turn. I get up there. I hit my first shot. It wasn't good. You know, you take that bad shot in front of everybody, you're embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up to about the lady, see where my ball is, and I think, okay, I'm just going to play it cool. Just going to play my shot. All of a sudden, I hear a voice from inside the clubhouse. Sir, that's the lady. Can you move back to the men's seats? I thought, he can't be talking to me. He had to just see my shank. Sure enough, as I line up, he goes, sir, please move back to the men's tees. I just ignored it. I line up again. Sir, can you please move back to the men's tees? In front of about 35 people, I had to turn around and say, could you please let me take my second shot? Come on, Chad.
Maybe it just hits me too hard the way I've played this year. Dave, I mean, is that it? You know, there's been a couple glimmers of hope lately. Maybe I'm just thinking of myself there and how feeble I've been today.
I feel like he's been describing a situation that probably happened to you sometime in July or August. And it's, like you said, a little bit too close to home, frankly, a little bit hurtful.
Yes, yes. I think he was attacking me. He was going after me. All right, Steve, you were the fourth caller, but you're still alive. Okay. How confident, okay, Steve, do you feel right now?
Real confident.
Okay. I like that. He's oozing confidence, so to speak. Steve, you're on the clock now.
Well, this was on Facebook. It's a picture of a little girl kneeling by her bed saying her nighttime prayers, and the caption reads, and Lord, could you please send clothes to those poor ladies on Grandpa's computer?
God. I almost was there. I almost. Harrigan, did you laugh on that one?
I chortled.
Yeah.
That's not called Make Dave Chortle, though.
Yeah, I know. And I almost felt like maybe I suppressed that too much because pretty good.
It's too
but I don't know,
strong.
Dave, I can't now go back, can I? I mean, no. What are the rules?
No, you can't. I mean,
I can't.
He doesn't
now
make
I
you
think
laugh.
Back to
it. Past.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think it's a pretty good one, but it just didn't get me there. Thank you, Steve. Judy. This rarely happens on the final word. You are the fifth and final caller. Did you call in the other day, Judy? We had a Judy before.
I did. I'm going to give it another try.
Okay, I like it. I like persistence. Dave, I think we've had someone win before who did not win initially. Is that correct?
That has happened, and I'm sure Judy went back to the drawing board, found something hopefully a little bit punchier. Let's see what she's got.
Looked within herself, said, where can Judy be better? All right, Judy, what do you have?
Why isn't there a pregnant Barbie?
Why isn't there a pregnant Barbie?
Because Ken comes in a different box. Ding, 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 ding. Oh.
What'd you think of that one, Dave?
Really?
I'm laughing.
Really? You had to laugh, giggled, snickered.
I did laugh, Judy. I'm kidding you. You're the winner.
Oh, you did!
Yeah!
I held the mic away just to fool you, Judy. That was very funny. Very funny.
Oh, thank God.
I just wanted to tease you, Judy.
I pulled the mic away. I laughed. I just wanted you thinking to win. Excellent.
You just
they're willing to go body on us to win, Harrigan, and we have no trouble with that, right? This adult radio station. What's happened to WCCO? No, this is what's happened to WCCO. Judy, congratulations, Dave. Hit the button. We'll play again tomorrow.